If you were here last week, or if you saw Pastor Henry's online sermon, he talked about finding out who we are running with. Who are we running with in order to finish the race of the Christian life? Well, today we're going to talk about not only who should you run with, but who should we avoid. And so, you know, we have a lot of influences that are coming at us all the time, probably in ways that we have never had in the history of the world. We have people that are always trying to deceive us, to do something to us. If you look in your inbox now, especially your spam box, you will find all kinds of things that are coming at you that are trying to take something from you by deception. There's probably an email from a prince in Africa who wants to say, "Hey, can I put money in your bank account? And I'll give you a portion of it. I just need a bank account to put it in. Could you please give me access to it?" Right? We all have those emails. I have gotten a email from Pastor Henry who said, "Hey, I'm at the airport and I forgot my credit cards, my debit card. Can you send me some money?" Anyone get these kind of emails? Of course, it's not Pastor Henry. There are people trying to deceive us. And this passage that we're going to be talking about today is really about having the wisdom to know who to follow. Who is influencing us? Who is trying to move us towards their way of thinking, their values, their gods? And finding out who are those false teachers? Who are those, what ways are they doing that? And it is really important that we understand this. Now, there is a character that I thought of when I was looking at this passage that I thought, this person really exemplifies sort of a snaky kind of person. Someone who is looking to deceive for their own purposes. And that person is Grima Worm Tongue. There he is. What a nasty-looking guy. Okay, now let me give you a little background from Lord of the Rings. If you're not familiar with Lord of the Rings, Grima Worm Tongue is used by Saruman, who is an evil person who is trying to take control over King Theoden, the guy on the right here. And he's using Worm Tongue to give lies and deceit and keep control over him so he can gain more and more power over King Theoden. And as you can see from the way he looks, he's doing a good job. And he whispers, he's sort of, you know, his name is Worm Tongue. He's snaking his way into his life. He's pulling him away from the truth of who he is. So I want to show you, now, what's Worm Tongue getting out of this? Well, one, he's probably going to get some riches, and also, his real desire is to get Eowyn. Now, obviously, he's going to be marrying up, right, if he gets her, right? So he needs a lot of help. So he's hoping that Saruman's going to help him. So I'm going to show you this little clip from Lord of the Rings.
Your son is badly wounded, my lord.
He was ambushed by orcs. If we don't defend our country, Saruman will take it by force.
That is a lie. Saruman the White has ever been our friend and ally.
Orcs are roaming freely across our lands. Unchecked, unchallenged, killing at will. Orcs bearing the white hand of Saruman.
Why do you lay these troubles on an already troubled mind? Can you not see? Your uncle is wearied by your malcontent, your warmongering.
Warmongering? How long is it since Saruman bought you? What was the promised price, Grima? When all the men are dead, you will take your share of the treasure.
Too long have you watched my sister. Too long have you haunted her steps. You see much, Eomer, son of Eomund. Too much. You are banished forthwith from the kingdom of Rohan, all its domains, under pain of death.
You have no authority here. Your orders mean nothing.
This order does not come from me. It comes from the king. He signed it this morning.
I'm sorry, you got to listen to me for the rest of the time. I know you want to watch the rest of the movie. But it is a great image, isn't it, of how that deception seeps into King Theoden. And you know, one of the things that's interesting about that scene is he tells King Theoden, you know what, you're too weak to carry this. You don't have what it takes to fight against this power. He begins to show signs of deceit about who King Theoden is. Well, the scripture today really would have been super helpful for King Theoden to have seen before Wormtongue got into his life. But you have the advantage of being able to be under God's word. So I'm going to step into 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 9. And here's what it says. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, pride, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone." Well, I have two big points that I'd like to talk to you about today. And they're really simple. Number one, run from snakes. Okay? Run from snakes. And the second is, don't be gullible. Okay? We got that? Run from snakes and don't be gullible. Now, we're doing a verse-by-verse walk through 2 Timothy. So I'm going to go through each verse and talk about what is happening. What is he telling us here? So let's go with verse 1. He says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." So when he says mark this, what he's saying is you really need to pay attention to this. It's like the beginning of Proverbs where he's pleading, please listen to me. This is really important. Mark this. He's telling Timothy because his congregation's future depends on this. He says there's going to be terrible times. It's going to be awful. It's going to be fearful. And it says in the last days. Now you might be thinking, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that. It's going to be a long time from now. No. No. The last days typically mean the time just before the return of Jesus, but there is a sense in which we are still in the last days now. And if you look at that list, you'll realize, hey, these things are happening right now. These things are going on right now. So these last days are not sometime way in the future, but they're present. They're here today. And those, if you look later in the passage, he's talking about the present tense. So this is happening right now. So we need to pay attention to this. And, you know, when he talks about people, he says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Now, people. Now, that just really means all of the world. People everywhere. Now, these are people. These are groups. These are, think of it as folks that are trying to influence you. They could be authors. They could be YouTubers. They could be on Instagram, whatever. They're on Facebook. Everyone's trying to influence us. So these people, you may know them, but never before in the time in history have so many people have access to you, your eyes, your beliefs, your thoughts, and those of your kids and your friends and your relatives, your nieces, your nephews, directly to them alone. Very powerful. So it says they will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Now this is really important because these influencers, what this passage, when I looked at this, it looked a little bit like a sandwich because it says lovers of themselves, blah, 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 blah. And then it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's like a sandwich, right? No, let's go back to the other one. There we go. So it says all these things inside, but what's important to understand is it's framed by the lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure, right? So what about this love? You know, the thing that you love, that's the thing. You know, when you're in love, you'll do anything for them, right? You'll spare no expense, time, money, energy. It's all for them. And when we have something that is the object of our love, we will do anything to feed or defend the object of our affection. We will do anything it takes to feed or defend the object of our affection. So, let's look at the list. Now, what's important here is how do you know who these influencers are loving? The people around you, the folks that are trying to move your beliefs one way or another. What are they about? And this is the genius that Paul does. He says, look at these things. You look at these things, and it will tell you where their love is. Boastful. Are they boastful? See, when we're boastful, we because we love ourselves, we want to make sure that everyone knows how awesome we are. So we boast and we exaggerate. We stretch the truth because we want to protect our image because it's really, really important. And we can fudge on the truth when we boast sometimes, right? The next thing is it says proud. Pride is the opposite of humility. If there's anything that God hates, it is pride. But it totally makes sense that if I love myself and I love pleasure and I love money, that pride is that thing that is going to be welling up inside of me. Because you know how you can tell about pride? We can't admit that we're wrong. That's one way to know. We can't listen to the correction or input of others. I know it all. Other people, God, I know it all. That kind of pride. And we are easily offended, right? Pride is easily offended. So be very aware of this. You know, I have a right, if I am proud, I have a right to what I want, and I want to have it when I want it. That's what pride does. It says, I deserve it. I deserve this. And what does that lead to? Well, that leads to abuse. Because you know what? If someone is standing in my way, I'm going to run over them. Abuse is using the power I have to push down, to hurt, or take from someone else what I believe I deserve for myself. You know, it's the opposite of healing, right? It says, I'm on the throne here. I deserve it. Not you. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it from you. Abuse. Disobedient to their parents. You know, the whole fabric of our community depends on the family. disobedient to their parents. That kind of disobedience leads to, hey, what do I care about God? I can't even obey my parents. What's that going to be? How does that reflect on my authority that I give to God? Ungrateful. This really falls right out of it. Okay, lover of myself, lover of money, lover of pleasure. You know what? You know why I'm ungrateful? Because there's never enough. It's never enough. I am never filled up. That I'm never satisfied to the point where I say thank you. The other thing about this is if those are my loves, then what happens is I think, you know what? I am really smart. I am totally smart. I've got this finance thing figured out. I have provided for all of my needs. I've invested well. I went to college. I did really well. I'm the bee's knees. I don't have to say thank you because I did it, right? It's part of pride. It's part of ungratefulness. Now, remember, you're looking at these things to determine what do people love. The next one is unholy. So, holy means set apart for God. It's for set apart for God's purposes. Unholy means that I'm just like everybody else. There's nothing different about me. There's no stamp of that, oh, that person's submitted to God. No distinction between me and the world. That's unholy. Without love and unforgiving. Okay, so unforgiving. I want to focus on unforgiving. Unforgiving is really a good one because it says, I will never forgive them. The actual word for that means without a truce. That means you're going to be in hostility forever because I will never say, I forgive you. So that hostility will never end. And then for the sake of time, we're going to run through some of these. Slanderous really is, again, gossiping and putting other people down so that I feel like I'm protected, like I'm bigger than them, I'm better than them. Other people will like me. Gossip just feeds right into this, right? Gossip. And then it says without self-control. Without self-control. You know, self-control really is the enemy of when we love ourselves, money, and pleasure. Because self-control is the thing that's keeping me away from what I want. So I don't want self-control because I want it all. I want to have it, and I'm never, ever satisfied. You know, addiction, which is killing our people, is destroying our families, it's destroying marriages. You know, any addiction from, or partial addiction from food or alcohol or drugs or pornography or gambling, all these things, they're trying to fill a hole that really only God can fill, but I just want more and more. And that lack of self-control just brings us down and brings our whole community down. These other things, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, and conceited. You know, these are characteristics that that they're really born out of that love that is displaced. And I call it the love sandwich. So I want to show you a picture of the love sandwich. Now that is a nasty, moldy sandwich. And the buns on that, I want you to think of, are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and then all those characteristics. And it's wrapped up with lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. That's how we can tell. Now, I want you to contrast that to what Jesus says. What does Jesus say when the Pharisees say, what is the greatest commandment? This is what Jesus says. He says, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So the sandwich that Jesus is creating here is he says, love God and love your neighbor. And what's on the inside? Well, he gives that to us in Galatians. He says, by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this is what Jesus is sandwich, love sandwich, looks like. He says, you know what? If you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, it is good. Those things inside, those ingredients, that's how you can tell. That's how you can tell the snake from someone you should follow. The influencer that you shouldn't follow from the influencer that you should follow. You see that? This is the comparison that you're making. So we have to be really, really wise. Look at the ingredients. Look how it looks. If you see those things, you got to run away from them. Loving of yourself, money and pleasure versus loving God and your neighbor as yourself. Now, it can be tricky. It can be really, really tricky because the next verse in 2 Timothy says this, that sometimes people have the form of godliness, but they deny its power. It says, have nothing to do with them. So the thing is that these things that influence you can look good. They can look like they're the real thing, but they're not. And the way you can tell is to look at these things. So again, here's our two things. Look at the fruit. Look at what's on the inside and decide who you are going to follow, who you're going to be influenced by. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a little application right now. Right now, I want you to look at this because part of being in the Word is that we apply it. So I want to apply the first part right now. The first thing is how do we run from snakes? The first thing in this passage teaches us is because remember the first word was people, included everybody. First thing is don't be a snake. Don't be a snake. All right? So what I want you to do is look at that list and think, hey, do I have any of these characteristics? I want to look at myself. And if you're really brave, when you go to lunch today, say to someone who's close to you, hey, do you see any of these characteristics in me? Tell me about that. You get double bonus points if you do that, okay? Because we can become snakes without even knowing it. The second thing is run from the snake. Now, I'm not talking about people who just annoy you, okay? I'm talking about people or influences that are pulling you away from God, from loving your neighbor as yourself. They're pulling you away from Jesus. They might be abusing you in a physical or emotional, verbally or spiritually. You need to run away from them. You need to avoid contact with them. All right? If you're on some website or you have an app or whatever that is pulling you away, you need to delete it. You need to get rid of it. Run away from it. It is not good for you. Anything that is compromising your purpose, your convictions, or your direction, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's only going to bring you down. The next thing is, I would say, you can limit your exposure to the snakes. Maybe you can't totally get rid of this thing. You know, you got to go to work or you, whatever. But you can limit your exposure. Your frequency, how much time you spend, what you do there, you can limit your exposure. It's a way for you to run from the snakes. Okay? Got it? All right. The second thing is don't be gullible. Don't be gullible. So I want to read this next passage to you. It says, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is a woman, I will call her Mary. She's elderly, and she recently lost her son. And she was, she's part of a small group, and the small group has kind of taken her under her wing. The small group leaders have taken her under their wing, and they watch out for her. But she had something happen to her a few weeks ago. Someone called, said, hey, I need to get into your computer because there's something wrong with it. So she lets them in, and of course they start taking stuff, and you know they're starting to look for bank accounts and blah blah blah. And she realizes it. She closes it out, and she kept them from getting in any further. And she was able to recover all that stuff and get away with it. But you know what? Think about that. This gullible, alone woman. Thankfully, she's got others around her. But isn't that evil? Isn't that bad? Well, that's what others are trying to do to us, to sway us from the truth. It's sneaky, and it sounds like it's good for you, but it's not. So, I want to just tell you, it says gullible women. Now, women in the room could be offended by this. I get that. But I want to put it in context. At the time this is written, really, the people that were, I would say the most vulnerable at that time would have been women. And really what this is talking about is just gullible, vulnerable people. It's really about people. Because at that time, women really, they didn't have access to the education that men would have had. They didn't have the social or political power that men had. So they were very vulnerable. They were and they were weak in that society the way it was. But today, we're all in that camp, okay, guys? We're all in that camp. And some of our vulnerable people might be, you know, immigrants or the elderly like Mary, children, those less educated who are open to that kind of thing. So we are all, in one way or another, vulnerable, okay? And these worms, these snakes, they are super sneaky, okay? They are really clever. Now, another example of this is those folks that were contacted or recruited by ISIS, right? On the internet. These are smart people, young people with a lot of stuff together. They were convinced to either become fighters for ISIS or marry fighters for ISIS, leave their homes and come and join ISIS. That's the kind of thing that happens. It is real. It is happening. And we need to be aware. So that's the kind of sneakiness, that vulnerability that I'm talking about that we have to be aware of. So how do we not be gullible? All right? This is the application part again. Number one, we don't be gullible. There's three ways that we can become gullible or vulnerable. One is we are alone. When we're alone, so like Mary was alone, like Theoden was kind of alone in that passage. We're not in relationship with others. We don't have the counsel of others. We don't have others saying, hey, you don't have to do this. You are not, this is not you. We are alone. It's like a tiger going after an impala in Africa, right? What do? They get the guy that's way in the back, that's slow. He's alone. That's the one they get. Don't be alone. The second is loaded down by sin and guilt. What does that mean? It means that I'm not confessing sin. I'm hiding my sin. I'm alone in this. I'm not letting anyone else in. I'm not repenting of it. I'm not turning of it. And it's weighing me down. Do you see Theoden? You see the way he looked? It was like it was weighing him down. It was crushing him. So he was vulnerable to deceit. And the next thing is not seeking God's wisdom and truth. Now, really, what I think that part of that means is I'm just applying the truth. I'm open to the truth of the word. I'm listening to the word of the truth, and I'm applying it. I'm doing something to it. Now, the sin and the guilt, all those things, what they do is they can actually make it so that we don't learn from the word. You know, it says that they're always hearing, but they're never understanding. So what that means is I'm hearing, like you're sitting here, you're hearing truth. You're hearing the scriptures. But if it doesn't go in, if you don't do anything with it, if it doesn't change your life, it's worthless. It's just more knowledge. It doesn't do us any good. We have to take it in. And the sin will keep us from taking it in and applying it. So we have to be really careful about how we apply and go after wisdom. I was with the women just finished I think it was a 6-week study on Wednesdays, and they were digging deep into the Word of God, and I was just amazed at talking to them how much they learned because they were studying on their own. They were really going after it, and God really changed their life. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, really going after it and allowing God to change our life. So those are three ways. Now, Eve, a little example, Eve of Adam and Eve fame, right? Eve was alone. She was by herself when the snake found her, right? Easy prey. Number one, she was away from others. The second thing is she was loaded down by sin and guilt. She wanted to have a, she wanted to be like God. She was not trusting the character of who God was. She was open to this. And then the last thing is she wasn't seeking after God's wisdom and truth. You know what she could have done? I actually just thought of this. She could have listened to the serpent and she could have said, you know what? I'm not sure you're right. I'm going to check with God and I'll come back and talk to you tomorrow. Right? I'm going to talk to Adam and God and I'll let you know. If she had done that, we wouldn't be here, right? She didn't check it out with God. She didn't go after God. So these influencers, these snakes, they are masters of deception. And this next verse tells us about these masters of deception, Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. So also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved mind who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear. So Jannes and Jambres were the two magicians that came before Pharaoh when Moses was brought before Pharaoh and Aaron threw down his staff. And here's a little picture of it here. He throws down his staff, and Aaron's Aaron's staff becomes a snake. And then the Pharaoh says, hey, I got magicians. They can do just as good as you. All right? So they come, and with their, this is Jannes and Jambres, with their sorcery, with their magic arts, you know what they do? They throw down their rod, and their rod becomes a snake too. But you know what happens? Aaron's snake gobbles up their snakes. Right? Now, we don't know, really, how did they do that? We don't know. Maybe they have some sort of evil power that was there, or maybe they're just sleight of hand. Maybe they just have a trick up their sleeve. But it was fake. It was without power. Aaron showed the power of God over their tricks and their deceit. Because it looks like it's the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It is a fake. And that's one of the last things about this, is we have to beware that we are not substituting the real thing for a fake. Substituting the truth with a fake. We have to be really, really aware of that. So these are the ways to not be gullible, all right? I'm going to give a positive point of view on this. Another way of looking at this for you to apply. Number one, journey with trusted companions. This is the way we don't be alone. You want to get in a small group. There are some small group flyers in here. There's a bunch out in the front. We're going to look to start some small groups over the summer. And I want to tell you, if you are with some trusted companions, you won't be like Eve. You will be with others who will say, nah, don't do that. Okay? It'll be really helpful for you. Second is confessing our sin to God and others. It's really powerful. That will break that power of sin. And the third is seek to obey God's wisdom and truth. Read it and listen to it. It will change your life. So just in summary, run from snakes. Don't be gullible. Okay? You know, in this story, we realize that the love and the power of the resurrected Jesus is the thing that combats these things, that allows us to run from the snakes and not be gullible. We have to be open to what God has in our lives and to worship Him and to follow Jesus. When we do that, it breaks the power of those lies, because they are powerful. It will break the power of those lies. So I want to show you another clip from Lord of the Rings. Aren't you glad you stayed? So this is King Theoden on the left. This is King Theoden on the right. And something happens. He encounters a power that is greater than the power that was in King Theoden, the evil that was in him. And this passage shows an example of what God can do in your life. Let's show this. Let's look at this clip.
courtesy of your hall is somewhat lessened of late, Théoden King.
He's not welcome.
Why should I welcome you, Gandalf Stormcrow?
A just question, my liege. Late is the hour in which this conjurer chooses to appear. Last spell I name him. Ill news is an ill guest.
Be silent. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I have not passed through fire and death to bandy crooked words with a witless worm.
Stop.
I told you to take the wizard. Stop.
Too long have you sat in the shadows. I would stay still if I were you. Hearken to me. I release you from the spell.
You have no power here, Gandalf the Grey.
I will draw you, Saruman, as poison is drawn from a wound. If I go, Théoden dies. You did not kill me. You will not kill him.
Rohan is mine.
Be gone.
Breathe the free air again, my friend.
What a scene. What a scene. And maybe you didn't catch it, but one of the things that Gandalf does is he reminds Théoden who he is, that he is the king, and that he is the son of his father, that he is the ruler. He reminds him who he is. And you know what? The power of Jesus, when we submit to God and we say, we want to be lovers of God, lovers of people, we want to submit ourselves to God, this is what happens. He reminds us of who we are. He releases us from the grip of sin and shame. He gives us power to love God and our neighbor, and he frees us to be who he has created us to be. So I want to encourage you to be vigilant. Run away from the snakes, and don't be gullible. Let me pray. God, we thank you that you have the power over sin and death, that you are the creator of heaven and earth. And God, as we open our hearts to you, and that we are able to understand your truth through your word, and that we allow you to be in our lives, Lord of our lives, we submit to you and pray that you would keep us on that road, that we would run with those that are running towards you, that we would have companions for the journey, that we might finish this journey of faith strong in you. In Jesus' name.